You'll hear the words from James' letter in this chapter. The first thing that I imagine you're thinking, it comes from the title that is above the section on the Bible, right? You know that the title on that section in the NRSV version, which we have in the pews, says something like taming the tongue, right? Right, and somewhat that makes us just go there immediately, right? It sort of guides us to focus on that. But I think it sounds reasonable because again, also verse 5 goes there. But what happens is that we may be led to focus on that and forget what it's really about. Forget what it's really about. All right? Now, there's a Sunday word for some of you because you have not heard it. We've shared this word in the last four weeks or so. So it's common for us. It's ortatory. Right? James' ortatory, James' exhortation for us is very direct. He just doesn't mess around. Right? And sometimes we miss his point because he's got so much in it. And as Rhonda shared with us a few weeks ago, she made the mistake of reading the whole letter and said, this is way too much. Sometimes we miss the point. The point of this text is in the first verse. You heard it. Not many of you should become what?
Teachers.
So this section here is, in essence, it is about teaching. And then he goes on to expand on his reasoning why he has to tell them that. Now, remember when these letters were written, as with all the books of the Bible, except for a few like the Psalms, which is a bunch, is a collection of different songs and poems. In all the books, there are no titles. There's no verses and chapters in the originals. We added that because it made it easier for us. But as they were written, they had no chapters, no verses. And those titles that you see on top of the sections are added by those who edited those Bibles. So it is important to somewhat take the title and put it aside, so that we can hear what is being written, and then we can just put the title back in if we want to, right? And this is important because, again, sometimes we see the title and we think that that's all that is in there, and we read the text with that in mind, and we may be missing the point. So that was my teaching moment for today, and from here on, it's just opinion, all right? So. So the context of James' statement about teaching is really broader, of course, because, again, we are inserting ourselves in something that is already going on, right? We have chapter 2, right? In chapter 2, we learned that James was dealing with favoritism within the body that really went against the spirit of unity and the spirit of equality that was trying to be a sense and practice in the middle of their congregations. And he reminded them of the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourselves, right? Remember, we went through all this. And then he shows them that mercy really triumphs over judgment. And he continues to state that faith is not an intellectual exercise. It's not just about believing in your mind. It is an active and a practical endeavor, right? So faith is an active and practical endeavor. It's not just a matter of us knowing. How many of you know how to swim? Okay. When was the last time you swam? That's what I'm talking about. Right? It is different, right? It is different knowing something and doing it. So we are called, James, to really think about this. We need to get our brains and our hearts really into what he is trying to tell us. And overall, when we hear all these things that he's talking about in chapter 2, overall, I think that he is really speaking about the practicality of faith. The practicality of faith. You've heard me say before that I think Christianity is the most exciting way of life there's ever going to be. A lot of people consider Christianity boring. I don't know where they get that from. Because when you really try to live the life that Christ shows us, then it becomes something interesting. Because then the fight starts, right? And we're fighting with ourselves and trying to figure things out. And I tell you, I haven't seen any other exercise in life that involves ourselves, our sense of identity, our sense of self, a sense of community, our sense of how do we live in this world that is not based on Christian values. So this is his argument. You know, it is about practicality of faith. Now, right after he makes this argument about the teaching, he brings up Abraham and Rahab as examples. He declares today's statement about teaching. He says, "So it is in the context of active, practical faith that he says that not many should become teachers." You know, he's talking about all these people who had faith before and they showed it. So it is in this context that we see this. Now, he follows that exhortation by describing why is it that not many should be teachers, and this is the meat of our message today. He describes it in terms of responsibility. He says, we will be judged in more stricter ways, right? So he describes this in terms of responsibility and also fallibility. We all make mistakes, right? He doesn't say we all make a few mistakes. He says we all make mistakes. How many?
Many.
Many mistakes. Right? So what he is saying is there seems to have been an urge from people in the dispersion, from Jews who have believed in Christ, who were outside of Jerusalem and in the Israel territory, there seemed to be an urge for them to consider themselves as those who knew. And he says, watch out. Watch out, because that's not necessarily something that you should be aspiring to. And I'll make a point about teaching. We'll go to the rest of the argument he's making. But I want to say this. We teach all the time. Hello? We teach all the time. I tell you, so if, when we start a service, somebody comes and light those candles over there, right? Most of us are like, what? What in the world is going on? Why do they do that? Right? But because we don't mention that all the time. We don't say we're lighting the candles because we want to recognize God's presence and His light upon our lives, right? But we're doing it. But we don't necessarily explain it all the time. We teach with everything that we do. We teach by being on time. We teach by respecting others. Even when we disagree, we teach by loving, even when we don't like, by stating and holding boundaries, even when the consequences may be difficult. Yeah, I mean, that's there alone is theme for 3 or 4 sermons, but I'm not going to do that because I just want to respect your time as well. But for us to teach anything, it's important not only to know it, and it's important not only to believe it. Hello? It's more about doing. Remember this text where it says, do you believe in God? And people say, yeah, well, that's good. But the devil and the demons also believe, right? Believing doesn't really get us anywhere. So for us to teach, it's important to not only know and not only believe, but it's important for us to practice. Any teacher can tell you that. Right, Ruth? Any teacher can tell you that. Before I stand in front of anybody and say, hey, this is what it is, I go through this process. Really? Is it what it is? Is it what it is in my life? And I think that's why preaching is such a challenging endeavor, because basically, maybe you don't know it, but we're preaching to ourselves. So that's why James comes and talks in terms of responsibility. He's saying it is not enough just to know. He's saying it is not enough just to say these things. It's important for you to practice. So there's great responsibility in the person who is teaching. And it is also about doing, or the doing of faith in James' context. And we'll get to the tongue in a second, all right? That is part of it. But for many, I'm sure that you're waiting just what the preacher's going to say about the tongue, but there's a theme that we have here, a slogan. You heard it at the beginning. It states that we do what? Reach, teach, and serve, right? RTS. Reach, teach, serve. That's something that we have adopted in the past few years as a guide for us to make sure that we are in the same page. Reach, teach, and serve. And I would consider this text a great lesson for us, because we teach with everything we do. We teach with our attitudes. We teach with our example. And we teach with our actions. So, as you well know, any teacher knows that it is important first to learn. So, the first task for a teacher is to learn. It is to learn. So it is important not only for us to learn, but learning includes the doing. You see, there's a circle going on here. And I'm sorry if I am going around. But I just want you to hear this, because sometimes we hear this, reach, teach, and serve, and it sometimes means in our minds that we are in a position that is different from others. In the sense that we think that because we teach, we are better. Hello? Judith, yesterday, as we were cleaning our car, at some point said to me, "You are not behaving like a Christian." I'm not going to speak to why she said that, but I agreed with her. Because what I was doing was not very Christian-like. So I think it's important for us to see ourselves honestly, to see ourselves transparently, and to consider ourselves with humbleness. Because we make mistakes, right? Because we make many mistakes. So if we are in a position to teach somebody else, it doesn't mean that we are better. It means that we're walking the walk. Hello? Right? It means that we're going through the process of being transformed by God's power. And that means that in this process, we may make mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to control the body, to keep it in check. And here's where James just follows up, right? He follows up with the next verses, and he just gives us a barrage of examples. He says, bits do control the body of an animal, right? A small rudder controls a whole ship. A small fire can set a forest ablaze. And we know a little bit about that, right? All kinds of creatures that can be tamed by humans, but no one can tame the tongue, which is full of deadly poison. See, all these things that he is talking about right after he's saying this is because he is stating that there is importance behind the act of teaching, which usually involves the tongue. And he just goes at it, right? Now, this is what verse 9 says. With it, with the tongue, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Did you hear that? Do you hear that? Now, I want you to think. I want you to think about this. Because we come on Sunday and we sing, right? We gather together and we pray. We bless the Lord. And what happens when we go home? What happens when we go home and we watch the news? Right? And we hear the president did whatever, X, Y, Z. Or X, Y, Z senator. Or we see the announcement about all the political environment, that all these issues that are going on. What do we do? What is it that happens with us when we leave this context of praise and worship? How is it that we face the reality of our lives? You see, James is not talking about a pie in the sky. James is talking about real life. And the reality of what we do. I tell you, there is something that just grabbed me about this whole thing. Have you heard lately that our country is divided? Have you heard that? How many times? Why? Why? I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But it's continually being said to us, and it's continually being communicated to us that that's the case. And all of a sudden, we're adopting all that preaching into our lives. And whenever we see somebody, or we hear somebody, or we hear about something that really doesn't fit our standard, the next thing we're doing is we're telling, that's a dummy. I cannot stand so-and-so talking about this because it doesn't conform to who I am. This is what I'll say it again. This is what our general minister and president said during our regional assembly. She says, "And who said that you were the benchmark of who of what we needed to be and who we needed to be?" With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Maybe there is something there for us. Maybe there is a teaching that we need to gather from that. If we're looking around us and we see others that are made in the likeness of God, who have other opinions of or are from New York, you know where I was born, right? I was born there. He knows too, right? Just because they have different attitudes, or because they have different ways of looking at the world, and because they have a different way of doing, and yes, even because they're stupid in what they say, it doesn't mean that they are not created in the image of God. Hello?
Amen.
Exactly. That's exactly what I say. See, I truly wonder if what we have in our current cultural and social environment is a result of our teaching. Are you with me? Do you hear that? I wonder, is what we are experiencing in our context, culturally and socially, it's a result of what's being taught. And if we know better, why are we echoing that? If we know better, love thy what? Right. I mean, if we know better, I mean, it doesn't, I don't think it means that we can't speak words of truth. But we need to be aware of how we do that. I truly wonder if what I say in front of you, or in front of a class, or in front of a microphone, or in front of a camera, is constructive, even if critical. You follow me? I mean, I worry about that. I worry about that because I think that we can fix this. All this division, all this speak of the other is the enemy, can change. I wonder if I am part of a society that set ablaze fires that consume our community just by speaking. I need to be accountable. And not only to myself, but to others. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? Right? This is the rhetoric, right? This is the questioning of our actions. This is the way that James is trying to build on his point. Now, we will continue this next week. And I'm glad because I'm beat up already. But let's just say this. It is possible that those who were reading the letter by James at the time that they received it were stunned. Yeah. It is possible because in the Jewish culture, the rabbis were important people, right? They were ranked right up there with the political leaders. And you know who was a rabbi, right? Jesus Christ. Jesus was a teacher. They called him teacher. And those who were coming up and were being raised, they were saying, okay, so what you are going to be in your life, all right, your dad was a carpenter, so you'll be a carpenter, right? Your dad sewed. Okay, so you're going to be sewing. Your dad this, so you're going to be... Your dad's a teacher. Oh, my gosh, right? you're the upper echelons, right? You know, if you perform well, then you can get to that place of being able to teach. And here's James saying, dummies, no. This is not something that everybody should aspire to. Because it's not only a matter of speaking. It's a matter of doing. So to have pupils was important. To have those who listen to your own words, it was like, man, I must be good because I have students. No wonder. No wonder. But knowledge on its own is nothing. Knowledge on its own is nothing. Unless it is applied, knowledge is like what happens in Jeopardy, right? What happens in Jeopardy? There's all these questions, and there's all these people with answers, and a lot of them go home with nothing. But some do go home with something, right? But guess what? It doesn't change the world. Does it?
Nope.
It doesn't change the world, even for those who are watching. It's just an exercise. Wow, that guy really knows a lot. Right? Man, he took $25,000 home. Unless it's applied, it is nothing. When we know Jesus, though, and we follow him, he can change the world by what they see in us and what they learn from us. Now, I think that's worthy of putting our effort to. We're going to be singing after we pray this song, Let There Be Peace on Earth.